I don't usually set up a sermon to go with the birth of Christ. I usually just go with what I'm doing. But this year, I started in Luke, and guess what? We're right on the text of the birth of Jesus. How wonderful. Gee, how did that happen? Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's like, you know, the old story about people that only come to church at Christmas and Easter. And they say, you know, I don't know why people go to church. They only talk about two things. Jesus was born and Jesus rose, you know. That's it. Yeah, it's like, well, we know better, don't we? Yeah. There's a lot to this. But we're going to look at the narrative, and we're going to sing a couple songs while we do it. We're going to look at the narrative of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
No crib for a bed, the asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love me, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Angel, I just o'er the plain and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Your joyous strains prolong, what gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." And then they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who had been lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, the thing about the Christmas story is miraculous coming of the Lord. Some of us know our Bibles fairly well. We know in the Old Testament there's this picture, this character, the angel of the Lord. It is the person of God who is seen by men. Right? We were talking about it in Sunday school that at the top of Jacob's ladder there was the Lord, and in the burning bush there was the Lord. And Joshua, when he went out before he fought the battle of Jericho, he met, you know, Shar Sabah Yahweh, the army, you know, the head of the Lord of hosts, right? The Lord was always there. Jesus was always there. He was present in creation, Paul tells us, right? And so the idea that Jesus came and he took on the form of a servant, that Jesus came and he was born in a manger. You know, in the Philippians, Paul tells the folks there, he says, you should have this mind in you that was in Christ, who did not seek to have, you know, equality with God, but rather humbled himself and took on the form of the servant, took on the form of a human being. Not because he needed to, right? But because we needed him to. We needed someone to represent us. We needed someone who would take our part, who would take our place for God's wrath. So Jesus came and he was born in that lowly form. You know, he came in like that lowest space, that lowest place. He didn't come as a king. He wasn't born into royalty. He was born as a carpenter's child. And, you know, when a carpenter goes to town, I guess he didn't get the best rooms, you know. If somebody of importance would have showed up in Bethlehem, I'm sure there would have been a place for them that was, you know, indoors, that was, you know, comfortable and clean and nice. But they were given what was left over, because that's where Jesus entered in the world. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as someone of prominence or someone who was glorious. He came as a carpenter's child, and he came to be born in a manger, in a stall. His first bed was the eating trough of an animal, you know, that lowly entrance into the kingdom. I mean, of the kingdom into, you know, our world. The idea that, you know, he was born in human flesh so that he could share our experience. I love that, you know, we'll get to the stories of temptation where the enemy took him aside and tested him and tried him. And, you know, Jesus never in heaven. Can you imagine the enemy trying to do something in heaven with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, with the glorious God? Can you imagine the enemy trying to do some little bit of trickery? But as soon as Jesus took on flesh, as soon as Jesus took on that lowly servant form, as soon as he entered into our world, he entered into that place where he could be tested and tried and tempted. The first time he knew what hunger was. He knew what fatigue was. The first time he knew what loneliness was. For the first time he knew what it was to be betrayed by friends and lied about. He knew what it was like to smell, you know, the filth of the world. To be wrapped around it. To have it wrapped around him. He did that again for you and for me. He came into a world that didn't love him. I like, that's why I put that little candle up there, the idea of the light. You think about this, the kingdom of God and all the promise of the kingdom of God, all the great things that God has set in store for us, the idea that we will one day be in His glory, and all those throughout all the centuries that have heard that message and called on the name of Jesus, it all started off in that little bitty package of a baby laying in a stall. Like one little flickering flame, that if the enemy could put that out, he could stop all the work of God. He could stop all the progress of the kingdom of God. That little flame sitting in those little arms, you know, of his mother and father. It's just such an awesome idea that is God coming in to a dark world. Again, not coming with force, not coming with power and majesty, but in frailty. in weakness. Temptable, testable, triable. Why? So he could take our part. So he, you know, he would understand how we are. We are frail and we are weak and we are in so much need of help and so much need of strength and so much need of forgiveness and all the things that come to us through Jesus Christ. And he first started by sharing our weakness, sharing our humility, sharing who we are. He came to make sure that we knew God's plan for us. He came to make it known to the world. You know, many times as he stood around and he would tell folks, he says, the kingdom of God is here right now. Meaning that it was in that package of humanity. It was, you know, God incarnate. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that represented the kingdom of heaven. He was the light of the world. And that light shines in our hearts and shines in our minds. And it helped us to understand the glories of the kingdom and the hope of our future. And it's not here. It's not around us. And it's not sitting under some Christmas tree somewhere. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in the kingdom of heaven. It's in the glory that he unleashes in us. But it starts with this humiliation. It starts with this testability. It starts with him breaking in to the enemy's space. This world that Satan owned because of sin and because of our weakness. Satan owned this world and he owned us and we were prisoners under his evil plans and schemes, and he would have kept us locked up and kept us, you know, in dungeons of darkness forever and ever if he had his way. And God sends this little weak child, this little baby, to change all his powers, to change all his plans, all the enemy's plans for us. And to give us the opportunity to have life, to give us the opportunity to know who God is in a way that we've never known before, before Christ, of course, right? You have that aspect of the Christmas narrative, the truth of Christ's coming. And then you have the proclamation about him, the breaking in of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of humanity. You have, and I love the place where the angels show up and the shepherds are just absolutely terrified. You think about that. You know, if you were sitting out in a place on a hillside somewhere and it's not dark like it's dark around here, because you can always have a little light in the city. You know, the lights are always going on somewhere. And so you don't know, you know, but like you go out someplace where it's really dark, where there's no lights around, you know, a candle could light up, you know, a big area because there's so much darkness. And these guys are out there, you know, watching their sheep at night. They're in that darkness. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord, the power of God, the light of God breaks into that darkness. And of course, they're terrified. You think about it. You know, there's a day coming, we all know about it. There's a day coming where the Lord's going to break through this world. There's a day coming where God is going to split the skies. And let me tell you something, it will be a terrifying day. It will be a day of terror for a lot of people who have tried to shut God out, ignore God, put God out of their minds and out of their hearts, you know. They're going to be terrified on that day. When the Lord shows up on the great day of the Lord, when the Lord shows up to bring everybody to account for all the things that we've said and done, it will be a terrifying day for those who don't have a Savior. But this wasn't a terrifying day. This was a day where the Lord was breaking in and he says, don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news. See, the news is that you don't have to be terrified of God. You don't have to be terrified of the day that the Lord is going to come. You don't have to be terrified that you're going to be unprepared to meet with God. The good news is that God has sent us a Savior. That God has sent us someone to take our weakness and give us strength. The good news was that there was a baby being born in the city of David. connecting, as we've been telling you all along, to all the promises that God gave throughout Genesis, throughout the Old Testament, all the promises God gave to his people about having a land, having a king, having you know, millions and millions of family members, you know, being one big family under the glory and protection of God. All those promises wrapped up again in this Savior who was born, who is Christ the Lord. The name Christ the Lord is actually Christ Lord. It's one name. Kurios Christos. Kurios is the name translated for Yahweh. So it's you know, Yahweh Messiah. It is a powerful, awesome name for Christ. He says there is a Savior that's been born, and this is no mediocre, this is no weak plan. This is Christ Lord. This is the Messiah Yahweh. This is God's plan to break the power of the enemy, to break the power of sin. He is a Savior. He is one who will rescue his people. That's what a Savior is. He's someone that rescues us, someone that helps us. He says that it's a Savior for those who are a favored. It's interesting how many different translations there are of that text. Those on whom his favor rests. But it's really just those who, I think it's those who have a relationship with God. Those who desire a relationship with God. Those whom God is covenanting with. Those whom God is looking to enfold in his arms and in his kingdom. He says, for those people that are looking to heaven, for those people that are looking to God, there is good news, because God has given us a Savior. God has given us a Redeemer. God has given us a child of the Most High. God has given us the Son of God. God has given us everything that we need for our salvation. It was born in a little manger in Bethlehem. And this is the good news. This is the Christmas story. All the good things that God intended us. Born in that little space in that dark night. God breaking through. Sending his Son in the likeness of a servant. God breaking through, sending angels in the brightness of heaven to proclaim, you know, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth on the ones that he's going to enfold his arms around. A Savior has been born. I was talking yesterday a few times about the war on Christmas and how people just act like they don't need a Savior. They act like Jesus isn't important. They act like, you know, we can just say, oh, we'll just change it to Happy Holidays and still sell a bunch of junk and everybody will be happy. They can't change what God did. They can't change the glory and the power of that story. How God entered into this world. He broke through in frailty, in humanity, for our sake. And he came as Lord Messiah. He came as the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who would break the power of sin, break the power of Satan, break the power of death, destroy the power of hell. He opened up the prisoners and he let us free. There is no way you can take that message away from us. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. We have a Savior. Merry Christmas, everybody. Jesus was born. Merry Christmas, everybody. Jesus came to save my life. Merry Christmas. I have a King and a Lord and a Rescuer. Merry Christmas, everyone. And let that be our message to everyone we meet. Just that we would just be glad to say to them, oh no, I had a lady yesterday, poor woman, came in here and said, Happy Holidays. I said, we don't do that here. We say Merry Christmas, because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Don't try to change it. Amen. Don't try to change it. Yeah. So let me pray with you. Now, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the greatest gift ever given. You gave yourself for us. You came in weakness. You were tried. You were tested. And you were perfect. And you are perfect. And they killed you. And you rose again. And you give life to everyone who calls on your name. Oh, thank you, mighty God, for all the good that you have done for us. Thank you, mighty God, for all the good that you will do for us. Thank you, almighty God, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to those whom we share this season with, and we might be brave enough to proclaim that God has given us a great Savior. In Jesus' name, we thank you again. Amen.